Lara Trump is crushing it, positively crushing it. You're not going to believe these numbers. I mean, wow, she's really, really sticking it to Ronna in more ways than one, shall we say. What was Ronna doing, by the way, over there? I'd like to know, besides buying flowers, allegedly. Good to have you guys here. Oh my gosh, earthquake today here in the Northeast. Just truly felt it. We got to talk about that. We got to talk about this new Diddy tape that just came out. New video of the feds swooping in on Diddy. And well, maybe they got what they wanted. I don't know. The bodyguard is now out saying just exactly what was on some of those tapes in his house. I got to share that information with you. The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, is making some snide remarks about Joe Biden. I'll tell you, Joe Biden's just losing everyone. And I know Nelson Peltz lost with Disney. But now Elon Musk is out there feeding the rumors that he may buy the company. Could he pull a Twitter-like move on this one? I'm here to tell you he should, and he'll actually make money on this deal if it goes through. Welcome to the program. I am Trish Regan. Happy Friday, and whoo, my gosh, we got an earthquake on our hands. Yeah, like that doesn't happen in the New York area all that often. But what do you know? Lo and behold, can we go to some of this video? You know, before I tell you this, I will just tell you that I was so stunned by it. I was at my home, and I live in the New York area, and I've been through those before, back when I used to live in San Francisco, right? You know, you get those there in San Francisco, but I'm like, wait a second. Is this construction? Is this like the gardening crew? Are they like taking a tree down next door? I'm like, whoa. So it lasted for like four, and I'm like, this is an earthquake. Gosh darn it, this is an earthquake. But I was so shocked and so stunned. You would think I would have taken out my phone and gotten a little video. I didn't. But fortunately, some people did, or they had those Ring cameras. So let's take a peek and look at some of this crazy footage that just came in before we get talking about politics. Oh, this dog. Check out this dog. Look at how he felt it, right? Right before you heard all that noise. The dog could feel the ground shaking. And then there's this other one that's really something. Oh, my goodness gracious. And, you know it's a slow news day when there's kind of a non-event earthquake that makes its way all over the news, from CNN to the New York Times, big giant graphic, earthquake in New York City. I mean, between this and what's going on with Russia saying what Russia's saying, and then, of course, the eclipse coming on Monday, I'm starting to think, what is this, Armageddon? Fortunately, as far as we know thus far, that 4.7 magnitude earthquake has not resulted in any deaths, so Let's hope, knock on wood, that is the case. Just kind of a minor thing. My chandeliers were swinging a little bit and they made a little bit of clinking noise, but that was effectively the extent of it. We have not yet heard worse. But again, doesn't normally happen in the Northeast. This is a West Coast sort of thing. So interesting. I guess it started out in New Jersey. I think Fox did a little summary of this that we can check out.
Adam Klotz is in the Weather Center. I believe that he might be able to join us. Adam, are you there?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I am here. I also didn't feel it. I feel like I was missing out on that. We do have a couple of graphics when these sort of things do happen. This is the location just outside of New York City. It's part of the Ramapo fault system. It's the longest crack in the Earth's surface on the eastern side of the country. And when earthquakes do happen, as we know, it's very rare. But this is typically, it has typically been the spot that they have happened. This one was at our current look. Oh, getting ahead of myself here. Let me go back for you guys. At our current look, this one is a 4.7 magnitude. And it was located just half a mile down, which is incredibly shallow as far as these things go, which is why so many people felt it. Like you, I didn't feel it here in the building, but I have friends who've been texting far out into Brooklyn who felt this. Some folks up in Princeton, New Jersey also felt it. So it's really shallow. It's part of a fault system that is really long. It doesn't move very often, but when it does happen, this is typically where these happen here across the across the Northeast. And I do think that shallow nature is the reason that we've seen so many people reporting and texting and calling so far this morning.
Adam, I wanted to ask you about that a little bit more.
Oh, so, you know, it's kind of a bummer when the weather guy misses it, right? He didn't get to feel it. Like, they live for these things, ladies and gentlemen. I'll tell you, I got a little guy who totally loves weather events. And I texted him. He's got like a little watch that he wears at school because they're not allowed to have phones. But I was like, you okay? Did you feel the earthquake? And he's like, earthquake? Oh my gosh. So he was outside running. He didn't feel it at all. And he's very disappointed. And here I am. Mom didn't even take any video. What kind of reporter is she? I will say this. I knew it was an earthquake because I'd been through one in California when I first moved to San Francisco and I was working for the local station out there as a morning anchor. It was in the middle of the night. It might have been 2:30 in the morning. And I felt it, and I was like, wow. Okay, and this was like before we all were like really familiar with devices. I mean, this was before the iPhone and stuff, so you couldn't really just easily figure out what was going on. So I called my station, and I'm like, hey, do you need me? Hey, this is a Northeastern girl. She's out there on the West Coast, and they got an earthquake. I'm thinking this is news, right? And no. It's just like 4 point something on the Richter scale. Go back to sleep. So they had an earthquake machine, of course, in the newsroom. And at 4 point something, it's really nothing. Then I was like, 4 point something? And then I got my earthquake preparedness kit and everything. I was like really, really ready, but we never had one after that. But I got one today, and I'm not even in California. What do you know? I'll tell you, Lara Trump has every reason to rejoice. The Republican Party has every reason to rejoice. I mean, ever since she took over at the RNC, she's been crushing it, and certainly crushing the former woman who was there, Ronna McDaniel, who just really couldn't seem to get out of her own way. It was like she loved Trump, but she hated Trump. She was trying to get money from the groups that didn't like him, but yet there she was aligned with him because he's effectively controlling the Republican Party. So it was like a no-win situation. Trump has a soft spot for her, and I think wanted to see her land on her feet, which she didn't do, right? Because of what we know went down at NBC and all those anchors attacking her, openly attacking her on the air. So that was not exactly what you would call a soft landing. And now she's suing NBC. It's unclear where her next gig is coming from. So we hope she gets a lot of money because you know what? You sign a contract and then the anchors trash you all over the airwaves like that. I think she deserves a pretty penny from NBC. Thank you very much. Regardless of what you think of Ronna, she didn't deserve that. Anyway, Lara goes in there and she's like guns blazing. She is really a strong-headed woman and she's on a mission. And she's made that extremely clear. I think we have a clip of her on Newsmax, Drew, that you guys should see. Oh, here's the number, by the way. Here's the number. $65.6 million. That's how much money she raised. That's 4 times what they raised the month before. So take that, Joe Scarborough, who just like, what, 2 weeks ago was mouthing off about how Trump and the RNC had absolutely no money at all, and they were never going to win this thing. And so don't believe the polls. Well, let's listen to him.
I always tell my kids if things look like they're too good to be true, they're too good to be true. And if you're looking at something that just doesn't make sense, you know, there's a reason. And here, we're looking at something that makes no sense. This guy's getting crazier by the day. He's got no money. The campaign is just broke. People don't want to give money. He's down 200,000 contributors to where he was this time in the cycle 4 years ago. Biden's raised $71 million. People are begging, literally begging, literally begging. And any idiot that runs some like podcast, they're begging. They're calling contributors and saying, how can I help? I want to write checks for Joe Biden. Put that number up again. What did Tip O'Neill say about money in politics? It's the mother's milk of politics. And right now, Joe Biden's got all he wants. And Donald Trump, it's a little thirsty, getting crushed here. And here's the most important thing. It's the small donors, too.
Yeah.
It's not just the big. It's the small donors. And why? Because I've always talked about my grandmom giving money to the PTL club. At some point, you figure out what Jim and Tammy Faye are really up to. And in this case, they know.
He's delusional.
If they're writing $25 checks.
I just want to swat him. Really? I mean, what a delusional, pompous guy. Did somebody at the White House tell him to say that? I'm beginning to think so. Seriously, I am beginning to think so because I'm sorry, Joe. What was that number you were so proud of? 70-something million he had in the coffers? Well, guess what they took in 4 weeks' time? $65.6 million. Check out the headline again. Here we go. Courtesy of the New York Times, $65.6 million. That was the haul. Just in the month of March. Okay, so I have a feeling now that, you know what? Biden is out of his league in every single way possible because no one's going to compete with this lady, I'm telling you, and her father-in-law. Listen to Lara Trump.
So let's talk about the RNC. Your father-in-law has endorsed you to be a co-chair of the committee. We have big problems with fundraising. Big problems with, I think, adapting to how I think the other side, you know, is intentionally now making elections less secure for their own benefit. But the problem is that if you don't join them in this sham they're trying to pull on us, we can't win. So, I talk about what needs to change at the committee to make this party more competitive, because I think after 2022 with those midterms, when that went the way it did, as hated as Joe Biden was, I think we all realize we have a huge problem in the party. What needs to change? And if you get the job, what can you do?
Yeah, well, listen, we need to be playing chess and not checkers. And that's exactly what we've been doing, unfortunately. And as you just pointed out, the Democrats have been playing a completely different game. We need to catch up and we need to outdo them at that game. We better have at the Republican National Committee a ground game operation the likes of which this country has never seen. We better be doing voter registration in record numbers. We also better be doing legal ballot harvesting all across this country, because those are things the Democrats always outdo us on. And let's face it, Rob, we better start telling people to go vote early. We have this notion that it would be nice if we had one day of voting. I would love that. You would probably love that. We'd love to give people the day off of work, and we'd love to have paper ballots. We don't have it right now. So we need to bank enough votes going into Election Day that we aren't trying to play catch up that day. We know things happen. Look at what happened in Arizona. Mm-hmm. Here's what I can tell you. The RNC needs to be the leanest, most lethal political fighting machine we've ever seen in American history. That is the goal over the next 9.5 months. If I am elected to this position, I can assure you there will not be any more $70,000 or whatever exorbitant amount of money it was spent on flowers. Every single penny will go to the number one and the only job of the RNC. That is electing Donald J. Trump as president of the United States and saving this country. We have no time.
Boom. All right. This girl's got it going on and she's crushing it. So thank you, Lara. She's there. She's been there 4 weeks, $65.6 million. Now, again, ahead of that, the DNC thing at Radio City Music Hall, what did they have? 70 something that Joe Scarborough was so proud of. So you figure that brings him up to around 100. Well, Donald Trump's like basically there. I think actually Donald Trump might actually have more at this point. So not only does he have money, he has the people on his side, and he doesn't need to go and get $500,000 donations from the uber rich in order to make that happen. All right. I want to turn to one of the reasons why I think that it's actually not just about money. I mean, money's important, right? But it's not entirely that. I mean, you look at the approval ratings of Joe Biden, they continue to sink. I mean, it's like just a deep, dark hole, and he keeps going down, and I don't know how he's ever going to swim back up, because you get a lot of things going on, many of which I firmly believe are his fault, and there's no easy answer. So the situation in Israel, obviously really, really intense, and there's a lot of really strong emotions on both sides within the Democrat Party. Most of the base is very aligned with Palestine. So somehow they all have amnesia about whatever happened on, well, we know what happened on October 7th, right? Amnesia about that. And they're just really upset about Israel attacking Gaza. And that's sort of the priority. And they can't accept that Joe Biden is not anti-Israel. And so he's been trying to kind of amend his position. First of all, Kamala Harris was like out there taking sides with Rashida and the rest of them, right? Because she wants to be aligned with the base on that issue. And they kind of want to have their cake and eat it too. And they're like, okay, if Joe can be pro-Israel and she's pro-Gaza, like boom, 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 we're all set. Well, you can't have your cake and eat it too. You kind of have to take a stand. And so his stand had been very pro-Israel. And now he's started to deviate to the point where Bill Ackman, noted hedge fund guy, billionaire, kind of led the charge against these woke Ivy League institutions like Harvard, for example, MIT, et cetera, got Claudine Gay fired from her position, really led the charge on that. So he had a tweet today and he's effectively saying, look, you know, what American president have you ever heard of when you have American hostages in Gaza? Like, why isn't he talking about this stuff? And it's a good question. Why isn't he talking about it? Well, maybe because he's getting more soft on Gaza and Palestine and anti-Israel. What is the reason? Well, some reporters asked him about this today. Oh, gosh, was he furious. I'm surprised we didn't hear an F-bomb or two that he's been noted to just drop out. Don't they say that's a sign of dementia, too? You know, you start swearing uncontrollably. Anyway, here he is. Watch.
Israel, Mr. President.
Pardon me?
Did he threaten to stop military aid to Israel?
I asked them to do what they're doing.
You need to follow it. You need to follow it.
Are you abandoning Israel?
He's sort of like, how dare you, right? How dare you ever say such a thing? It's interesting is his temper got up there. If you couldn't make that out, he actually said, quote, when asked, are you abandoning Israel? He said, where are you from, man? Sounds like he was insulting the reporter's accent. Doesn't sound very left to me to go out and insult someone's accent just because he's asking if he's abandoning his. Where are you from, man? Anyway, it all relates to this headline you see in the Wall Street Journal today. Biden ties support for Israel to civilian protection. President demands ceasefire in Gaza in call with Netanyahu after convoy attack. So he wants to say, okay, if you're going to gain money, then you have to protect the civilians in Gaza. Well, that's kind of hard to do if, in fact, you have the bad guys hiding among the civilians, in some cases in hospitals. I know Israel tries very, very hard not to actually hit any civilians, but unfortunately, you know, these are the sad, horrific realities of war, which is why, you know what, Joe Biden, I'm going to go back to Afghanistan. Why the heck did you get out in the way that you did? Why didn't you leave any ground forces behind? It is your fault. It is Tony Blinken's fault. It is the fault of this administration and the lack, the utter lack of sensible policy that we're in the situation that we are in. That Iran felt like it had the ability to okay this. Think about that. Iran felt like it was emboldened because what did it get? Huh? Some $6 billion along with their hostages back from Joe Biden. He hand-delivered them and the money. And they're like, oh, well, you know what? That money was really theirs. And then they've told us that they actually locked and froze those accounts. We don't know. I just know this. The optics of it were Iran getting the hostages and getting the money. And Iran suddenly, within weeks' time, okaying that attack, that heinous, horrific attack that will live forever seared in our minds in Israel. So you know what, Joe? I don't think this is actually going to cost you the election. I think it's the economy and the border that's going to cost you the election. But hey, man, where are you from? Moving on to why the border and the election are hand in hand along with our economy. Did you see the jobs report today? Oh, we got a nice 303,000 jobs added to the U.S. economy. Way more than anybody thought. I mean, we were only looking for, what, 200,000 that economists thought that we'd actually get added. Not that 300,000 is really enough. You need 300 to 350,000 just to keep pace with population growth. Of course, that was in the old days before you had millions of people coming here undocumented. I don't know how many you need now to keep pace with population growth because nobody even knows what our population growth is because nobody actually knows how many people are here illegally in this country, but it's starting to show up in job numbers. Imagine that. This is crazy. So Drew and I heard this clip on CNBC, and I was like, whoa, wait a second. What is going on here? Let's listen to Steve Leisman. He's their longtime economics correspondent, and he's trying to break down these numbers, and he says something that's pretty interesting. It's real quick. Let's play it.
The CBO just upgraded by like 4 million the number of immigrants that are in this country, documented, I guess, and undocumented as well. Those folks are showing up in the payroll report.
Excuse me? Undocumented immigrants, migrants are in our payroll report? Well, how could that be? I mean, they're undocumented, right? Like, what the heck is going on? I'm wanting to know. Well, so is my other former colleague, Jim Cramer, over at CNBC. And he asked Lael Bernard, she's like the one that everybody thought might actually become the next Fed chief. Might be in line even for Treasury if Biden were to get elected again, which is a gigantic if and probably a no. Anyway, let's listen to her try and explain this.
Will you please disclose how many work permits you've issued? We don't know. The economists don't know. We also don't know what's the real numbers, because the Census Bureau has not accounted for immigrants properly. Can you give us a sense on work permits right here, right now?
Yeah, so I can't give you any specific numbers. I'm looking at the jobs market from this morning. You're looking at the same numbers. What we see is that the employment to population ratio is very strong.
She can't give us any numbers? She can't tell us how many people are illegal migrants that are being counted in this jobs report that mysteriously comes out way better than anybody thought. Haha. I mean, they're flying people in the dead of the night. Elon Musk has been tweeting away about that one because, well, there's a whole lawsuit going on. Effectively, they're using your taxpayer dollars, ladies and gentlemen, your hard-earned money, to fly people into this country that don't have the right permits and the right, red tape, et cetera, to be here. Right, that are illegally here, and they're flying them into your city, a city near you, brought to you by you. And then they show up in these job numbers. And it's so important. It's so important for Joe Biden that he get those job numbers up, that it look like he's adding jobs into the economy. Wages aren't going anywhere, but why would they? I mean, if you have illegal migrants willing to work for literally far less than a lot of Americans would work for, then why would wages go up? In fact, if anything, you might see wages go down. Oh, well, that gives our Federal Reserve more room because wages aren't growing much. So maybe that's a good thing. Maybe they can do a little more. I'm sorry. This is wrong. They should not be counted in these numbers. But they should be counted in that. I mean, if we don't know how many people are here. I mean, you mean to tell me we don't know how many people are here? The estimates are actually higher than the 4 million you heard. I've seen as high as 8, as high as 11 million that have just come in since Joe Biden became the president of the United States. Well, he welcomed them. Do not forget. He welcomed them. He said in 2020 in the Democratic debate, he encouraged a surge at the border. I mean, big old welcome sign. Like, look, we're a welcoming nation. I get it. But you actually have to come here legally. Thank you very much. And you're not going to screw up the economy for the rest of the people that are here legally. Not if Donald Trump has anything to say about it. But Joe Biden, it's game on, for goodness sakes. And this will, ladies and gentlemen, cost him the election. This is the economy and the border all trapped up in one with one big red shiny bow, because it's a pile of you know what that's getting delivered onto your doorstep courtesy of this president and his wacky administration. You know, it's so bad that even Dwayne Johnson is not going to vote for him anymore. I mean, The Rock, you know, Dwayne Johnson, he was actually pro-Biden back in the day. Do we have the clip, Drew, from 2020, Dwayne Johnson saying he was all in for Biden? You know, the nice guy, Joe Biden. Dumb, but nice.
Happy Sunday, everybody. We are approximately 5 weeks away from Election Day, arguably the most critical election our country has seen in decades. Now, that said, I'm going to be pushing this political conversation just a little bit more. Now, you know, look, I've got friends in all parties, but the one thing that we can always agree on is the conversation and the dialogue, and where that conversation lands is always the most critical part. Now, this is something that I've certainly not done in the past, so I'm gonna go big. You guys know me. If I go, I go big. So, guys, I had the opportunity to sit down with Vice President Joe Biden and Senator Kamala Harris to talk about a number of important issues that we're facing as a country. I thought it was a great and extremely productive conversation that we had. And as a registered independent for years now with centrist ideologies, I do feel that Vice President Biden and Senator Harris are the best choice to lead our country, and I am endorsing them to become president and vice president of our United States.
All right. Well, that was 2020. Fast forward, ladies and gentlemen, to now, and here you go. Dwayne Johnson.
Happy that you made that endorsement in 2020. Are you happy with the state of America?
Am I happy with the state of America right now? Well, that answer is no. Do I believe we're going to get better? I believe in that. I'm an optimistic guy, and I believe we can get better. The endorsement that I made years ago with Biden was one I thought was the best decision for me at that time. And I thought back then, when we talk about, hey, you know, I'm in this position where I have some influence, and it's my job then. I felt like that then. It's my job now to exercise my influence and share with this. This is who I'm going to endorse. Am I going to do that again this year? That answer is no.
Well, he got religion, as they say, smartened up. He's not the only one. I mean, there's a reason that poll after poll after poll shows people are so incredibly disappointed with Joe Biden, the Joe Biden that they voted for. I sat here, I told everyone, you guys weren't listening. Of course, we didn't have 200 and how many? 57,000, you guys? I mean, wow, we didn't have this many YouTube. I actually wasn't on YouTube up until maybe a year ago. We had a channel and everything, but we weren't here. Reminder, subscribe. But I sat here and I was like, listen, policy matters. Like, I know it might feel a little boring and whatever, but stuff like economic policy, like it matters. Border policy matters. International policy matters. All of this stuff. It really, really, really. Tax policy. Thank you very much. It matters. So all this stuff matters. And yet people are like, oh, you know, he seems nice and he doesn't have any mean tweets. Well, you know what you got? You got a 45% increase in the amount of your gas prices. It costs you 45% more. AAA out with that data this week than it did when Donald Trump was president. Median incomes during Donald Trump's presidency, they rose by the most they had risen since, what, JFK? I mean, you had to go back some 50-plus years to ever see anything like that. Middle incomes now are getting squashed. I mean, it's like the middle class. I talk about the hourglass economy. You got a lot on top. You got a lot on the bottom. They got all kinds of aides. Hey, you're an illegal migrant. We will give you a cash cart, a phone, a hotel, meals, and what do you know, a job. You'll get included in our jobs report. You'll make us look really good, and we'll make you happy. Okay, so all those people on the bottom. And what happens to everyday Americans, the middle class that has built our country into what we are and what we need to be? You know, the husband and wife, the two kids, the picket fence, the dog, the whole nine yards, the middle class of America, squeezed and squeezed and squeezed and squeezed. Think about that hourglass. Biden's friends on the top, they're doing fine. Biden's who knows what on the bottom, he's taking care of them, but everybody else is stuck. And this is why people feel so passionately about Donald Trump. Look, it's part of why I started. It's why I feel so passionately about you looking out for your financial future, because you know Joe's not going to do it. You know your company is not going to be there to make sure that you have a job during difficult times. You know that it's hard out there, and you got to take care of yourself. You got to take care of your family. You got to take care of your future. And there's no better way to do that than to start investing today. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do, and we can do kind of we have some of this at 76research.com, a little bit of primer stuff for you, because you want to make sure you're paying off your debt and this, that, and the other. And there's good debt. There's bad debt. Bad debt being credit cards, good debt, hopefully being like a 2% mortgage rate. But you know, once you've kind of worked through that, you got to plan for your future. And you can't trust, honestly, I mean, I'd like to say you could, but you can't necessarily trust your retirement plan. You're a teacher, you're a cop, you get a retirement plan. Good luck. I mean, you got BlackRock running it and they're investing in Disney, for goodness sakes. And voting for Bob Iger at Disney as those shares just lose so much money. You think about, you know, going down to where they've been and where they are right now versus the $200 they were just a few years ago. In other words, those people are more concerned with woke capitalism and having the right kinds of friends and doing the right ESG, DEI nonsense stuff than they are about you and your future. So Rob and I started this so that hopefully you can take some of this into your own hands. Go to 76research.com, sign up for the free stuff. Think about signing up for the 76 report. I'm so proud of this because this is a new model. But normally, this kind of research, and I'm not blowing my own horn or tooting my own horn or whatever. Like, this is actually really expensive stuff. I mean, Rob has an incredible background in finance. And typically the way these kinds of firms work is that they sell institution to institution. So it's like a B2B business. And I was like, forget that. Like, we need to go out and actually help people. Really, really help people. So we need to make this affordable. Well, how do we make it affordable? We do it at a mass scale. So we give all of this research to you at a very affordable price. And obviously I have a bigger audience than, say, the little boutique on Wall Street. So that is the plan. You're part of it. We're here for you. The 76 report and the model portfolios, where we tell you what you need to be invested in for the future. Check it out. This is unbelievable. I mean, Diddy, he might just be, if these allegations are true, he may just be sort of a new version of Epstein. I mean, wow, you know, the feds busted him for trafficking, allegations of trafficking. New video has just surfaced. The wife, or forgive me, the mother of two of Diddy's sons, there we go, she released this because she said, wow, you know, like, this is military level force. I mean, it's full on military level force. They busted in. This is new video. Hasn't been seen before. I want to play it for you because it's really quite something to see. I mean, the machine guns and everything. Check that out, you guys. Wow. Wow. So they've got the oh my gosh. I mean, this is unbelievable. This is the new video, holy moly, of the feds going in on Diddy. He has two homes. They went in this raid simultaneously, bi-coastal raid. You see, I think that's one of his kids coming out with his hands up. Oh my gosh. And so they were detained. They were later released. This is really something to see. Unbelievable. And so you start to say to yourself, can we watch it again, Drew? You start to say to yourself, like, what's going on? Why did they have to do it in this way? What exactly did Diddy have that they had to get with a full on, I mean, this is like they're going in to bust a big, big, big illegal criminal operation, right? And why now? Well, according to some new lawsuits that came out just about 3 weeks before this all went down, there were allegations that there were tapes of all these wild parties that he was alleged to have had. And that these tapes and these cameras were there going 24/7 and he had everything. And now his bodyguard, the former bodyguard of Diddy, is coming out with some really big whoppers, okay? I need to have you see this because this might help explain. It may just help explain why we see that kind of force from the feds. Watch.
I don't think it's only celebrities going to be shook. He had politicians in there. He had princes in there. He also had a couple of preachers in there.
You personally, you think he got tapes?
Well, my personal opinion, that if Lil Rob could be trusted and his statements are true, they got him. They got tapes of stuff.
Now, if Diddy had tapes, the Fed.
Ooh. So was that what this was about? I mean, did they not care about arresting him now? Is it just about getting the tapes? Because the tapes had some pretty important people on them. I think everybody's waiting. I mean, the thinking is that they're going to go after him with RICO. Ashton Kutcher is apparently waiting for a subpoena, but that hasn't happened yet. I mean, it still could. The story is young, as they say, and I think there's more to come. Maybe they need to go through the tapes in order to figure out what they're going to get him on. Or maybe, if you want to go down this rabbit hole, they accomplished exactly what they wanted to accomplish. We don't know. But when I look at that video and I see those big giant guns and I see all the personnel that it took to go in and raid them, I'm left with a lot of questions. I mean, that's a lot of force. That's a lot of force. And I have to ask myself, as you probably are, you guys have, you're skeptics too, right? We're all skeptics these days. We say, why? Why? Why, as we stay on the question of why wasn't Nelson Peltz able to win that Disney shareholder vote? I'd like to know why. Well, I think I know why. You got a lot of big corporate interests. I mean, this is what we were just talking about, right? Big corporate interests at play. I mean, to CalPERS credit, they said, wait a second, our teachers and firefighters need to be able to retire one day. We like Nelson Peltz. We like his ideas for the company. But everybody else, BlackRock, T. Rowe Price, the rest of them, they decided to go with the status quo. And the status quo was Bob Iger and the board that he had hand-selected. Now, it was a wake-up call for Disney, but the question now becomes, can Disney actually climb its way out of its hole? Just like Biden needs to climb his way out of those sinking poll numbers, Bob Iger's got to find a way to make this company profitable. Can he do it? I mean, actually, that's a pretty important question. I mean, we've talked about the wokeness, right, within the entertainment division, and it's permeable. I mean, it's throughout the entire place. Every kid they hire out of school cares more about the wokeness thing and politics than they do about actually making a profit. So fundamentally, you get an issue there. But simultaneously, there's something else going on, and that is what I'm doing here, right? The fact that I have a show here that you can tune into and that we can converse on, and it can be kind of this more 3D operation, and it can be done far differently than the big giant production of, say, I don't know, The View. Well, that means that there's more economies of scale, there's more profitability within this streaming thing that than there ever will be, right, within the traditional TV model. So from that sense, Disney's pretty much, how shall we say, screwed, right? They've got the entertainment division. You heard my colleague at 76 Research talk about that. The entertainment division, the hospitality division, the entertainment division within the park sphere might be relevant. But entertainment, as far as the movie stuff, that's like just, I think, kind of a dead business. So Elon Musk is circling the wagons. You know, Elon has no use at all, shall we say, for Bob Iger, the CEO of Disney. Don't forget, Bob pulled all advertising from the Twitter platform, which, you know, Twitter's taken a dent on. Watch Elon with his choice words for Bob.
Advertisers leaving. We talked to Bob Iger
today. I hope they stop.
You hope?
Don't advertise.
You don't want them to advertise?
No.
What do you mean?
If somebody's going to try to blackmail me with advertising, blackmail me with money, go f*** yourself.
But
go f- yourself. Is that clear? I hope it is. Hey, Bob, if you're in the audience.
Well, let me ask you then.
All right. So here's the real go f yourself. What if Elon buys Disney? Okay, just hear me out for a second, because the whole company, it's worth some like $215 billion. That's the market cap. Well, what if you could get a group of investors together and say, buy it, and then do a good old-fashioned LBO, leverage buyout, because maybe the sum of the parts is worth more than the whole. Maybe you need to get rid of the woke film division and you need to double down on hospitality. You know, those cruises, they're doing well. maybe you need to get rid of all those TV businesses that are no good. And you double down on the theme park. I mean, you got some competition coming in. Universal, they're ramping up. So, you know, you get some pricing pressure right now because there's been inflation. They've justified. They've been, you know, what is it, $160? It changes on the day because everybody's somehow willing to spend nearly $200 to go stand in line for a couple of hours and maybe get on three rides. Well, you're only going to be able to do that so long because other folks are coming into the circle. And then you don't get your Reedy Creek thing anymore with DeSantis. So you're going to have to compete in the big boys league. Can you do that when you get all this wokeness around you? And, you know, you're a business that has been so focused on entertainment, but entertainment's not working for you anymore. You've got to actually rejigger. Well, maybe the best way to rejigger is to actually split the company up, right? I mean, they kind of have a little bit of that going on. Let's take a look at what Nelson wrote. If Drew, if you have that document, because he kind of laid this out and said, like, here are the opportunities. And when I see this, I look at, okay, he's got the entertainment division with the linear networks. The linear networks are just dead. That's ABC. That's why I say ABC's dead. Whoopi, you're not going to have to watch her much longer. Disney Channel, FX, National Geographic. That stuff is just over, right? Because we're here. Okay? We're here. Hey, Bob, we're here. So YouTube is clearly a threat, et cetera. Then you've got the global streaming services. Well, those are a possibility, right? But that's not been working so well. They got to figure out how to do that a little bit better. ESPN's been a disaster only because it's part of that linear sort of thing, right? Like sports should be good, but you've got to find a way to transition that into a streaming and a paid content model. And then on top of that, well, check this out. Experiences, parks and experiences, 36% of the revenue. Like this is going to be the future of the business. They got to figure out streaming. But in the meantime, what if you sold this one off? I mean, I know this is like sacrilegious to say, so I'm sorry for all the Disney fans out there, of which, believe me, I'm one. It was like a pilgrimage every year. We drove from New Hampshire to Florida. My sister, my grandmother in the middle, and me in the back seat with my mom and dad in the front, and we'd like hit every Holiday Inn on the way. All five of us in a hotel room. Let me tell you, those are memories, people. Those are memories. I love Disney, and I looked forward to that trip every year, okay? And then as soon as I had kids, like they were 6 months old and my husband's like, why are we at Disney? And I'm like, I have to go to Disney. Okay. I love Disney. I love it so much. I tried to buy a timeshare and he's like, okay, you've fully lost it. Fortunately, somebody is sensible in our family. I didn't get that timeshare and we don't go to Disney anymore. Like ever. I think he went once and he's like, I'm out. All right. So I'm just saying like Disney could do some interesting things. If it focused on hospitality, if it focused on experiences, if it focused on tourism, it focused on those like communities that they're trying to build, if they could get rid of their wokeness gene by selling the company and just starting over with a clean slate, you just break this thing up and you could have, these are the three primary segments. You could just break them up into a whole bunch of little parts and I bet you it's worth more than $215 billion. Rob is looking into this. Rob, like, you know, he goes through every single report and all the finances and all that good stuff over at 76 Research. He has a small report on this for free today, 76research.com. And there's a big report coming on it in the 76 report next week. So I encourage you to check it out and I'll really encourage you. I'm putting it here for you guys. And this is a big deal because I do not walk and talk so well at the same time, but that is 76 Research. I see your note here, by the way, thank you for your generosity. I always appreciate that. He said, Trish, do you see all 99 cent stores are closing down 300 plus stores? Yeah, there's a bunch of them. 12,000 jobs gone. He's got that on KTLA-5. I did see a story the other day. This may be an update, but 99 cent stores, really, really struggling. Listen, nothing's 99 cents anymore. Okay, like that's the problem. The dollar store, it's not like the $5 store. Woolworths, remember Woolworths? They used to be the dime store. They used to call these dime stores and then became the dollar stores. Now they're like, you know, the fivers at least. I mean, the inflation is killing these things, absolutely killing these things. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I love that you support independent creators as Don and Leslie and Mike and so many David do here. Liberal tears cracking me up. Donald Trump is running a very impressive campaign. Yeah, very impressive and innovative because like he takes what they do and he turns it on his head. It totally turns it on its head. It's like they're like, okay, he said this about migrants. And he's like, actually, I didn't. I was talking about the auto sector when I mentioned the bloodbath. But so long as you want to go there, guess what? I got Biden'sbloodbath.com. And you can go there. And they're like, oh, my gosh. So this is what keeps happening and happening and happening. And it's really just remarkable, absolutely positively remarkable to see. I want to say thank you to all of you for being here. Later tonight or tomorrow, we are going to have a members only chat. So if you're not a member, consider signing up as a team member. And we're going to chit chat and just, you know, go back and forth and answer questions. And we have a lot of fun. And it's private, etc. So consider that. And in the meantime, have a wonderful rest of your afternoon. And I will see you on the member chat and back here on Monday. Tons of clips coming your way over the weekend as well. See you then.